Over the years, we have been greatly troubled when we have seen individuals in the Church of God undermining God's end-time apostle, Herbert Armstrong, while being critical of the work God performed through him, and critiquing those that hold fast to the truth and the doctrine restored through him. It is a concerning and humbling thing to see this occur, and has been especially painful in relationships formed over the years with previously like-minded individuals seemingly caving in to the same script as so many others. How does this occur? And further, how do we maintain hope that we can continue to contend for the faith and endure to the end? These are questions that we must deeply reflect upon. First, how does this occur? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And verses 3 and 4. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So the key to this is that Satan is the source of subtlety and corruption and beguiling. He is experienced. He has succeeded in leading many astray. He started with a multitude of angels that he has deceived and twisted and perverted to turn to demons. He was there in the Garden of Eden, of course, and led to the fall of man by deceiving Adam and Eve. And in the 6,000-year history of mankind, he has victories overall, deceiving all of us and ultimately deceiving the whole world, including the 8 billion people that live on it today. His tactics and the approach that he uses have remained unchanged over the time, over all time. He is relentless. What he doesn't succeed with today, he'll keep trying tomorrow or the next day or the next year. He will continue to go after his prey until he succeeds. And his entry points are seemingly countless. He permeates society, government, entertainment, commerce, education, all news media. In addition to that, and in addition to the society that he controls and has deceived and designed, he has the ability to work directly within each of us through attitudes and moods on each and every individual. He has the ability, and again, he's relentless, that he tries to connect with a person's moods, a person's vanity, a person's pride, their carnality. And this deception by Satan and his devouring ways have played out thousands of times to those once attending with or called into the Church of God. In verse 4, as we review that, it talks about how a different Jesus has been preached, a different spirit has been present, a different gospel. All of this has applied over the last 38 years since Mr. Armstrong's death. The reality is, Satan only needs a person to compromise on one point in order to get his foot in the door. Let's close this section out by reading an excerpt from the December 5th, 1980 Pastor General's Report by Mr. Armstrong. The title of this particular article was "Satan, Deceive and Use Me? Never." And this is the quote. "He, if deceived by Satan and used by him, is one who, like Lot's wife, began to look back, even if just a little at first. He may have been willing to compromise on a minor point. He became a little liberal at some point, or he let vanity, covetousness, desire for personal power, or self-righteousness, or disagreement on a doctrine introduce a wrong attitude against the church or God's way. I have explained all this above. One step in the wrong direction leads to another. He becomes lost in the dark woods, so to speak. He is for the moment not being led by God's Spirit, Soon he will be misled on another point, then another, or he comes to a new truth and allows it to ignite a wrong attitude. He will go farther and farther away from God's real truth, and farther into error. But he is still in his right but carnal mind, not necessarily demon-possessed. So with that in mind, and that battle that we have against an adversary, a very experienced adversary, in mind, let's answer the next question. How do we maintain hope that we can contend for the faith and endure until the end? And again, while Satan might be relentless and have a time advantage on us humans, we can be thankful and humbled by the reality that God is eternal and is working out his eternal plan and purpose for mankind. In order to succeed, we must rely on God. We must nurture a life that allows God to work in us, that allows God to grow and develop his spirit and his character within us. And we must continually lean on God. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 through 7. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. This must be something that we thoroughly adhere to in all of our ways. And keeping in mind that our own understanding is deceitful, and our heart is subject to all the other things that the carnality and ways that this world follows. We tend to get impatient as humans. We have trouble waiting sometimes for an instant, waiting for an hour, waiting for a day, let alone years or decades or a lifetime. But our life, the calling that we have, is focused on eternity. It's focused on something that we're designed to wait patiently for. It's designed to be building towards and waiting on the return of Jesus Christ and the salvation that lies ahead of us with the kingdom of God in the future. So what are we to do? Scripture after scripture tells us what to do when we have trials that take time, when we have things to wait for, when we have patience to exhibit. Just like what we've seen over the last 38 years and again throughout each of our individual callings, the scripture exhorts us to be patient, to wait on the Lord. I'm not going to quote each scripture, but the both Old and New Testament are filled with verses that tell us, again, be patient, wait on the Lord, be still, hold your peace, wait for him, and so on. Additionally, there's numerous examples, like the Israelites at the Red Sea with the army of Pharaoh coming after them. They were told to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. They could have tried to take it in their own hands, turn themselves in. They could have tried to jump in the Red Sea, but they were told to stand still and wait. Additionally, we have the example of the disciples after Jesus Christ's death, waiting for the day of Pentecost, and they were instructed to wait in Jerusalem. And if they hadn't listened, if they hadn't patiently waited, they would have missed the coming of the Holy Spirit that occurred on that first Pentecost after Jesus Christ's death and ascension. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Those examples I gave were smaller in time, but they are examples of what we need to do. We need to stand still and wait. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Isaiah 40 and verse 31 states, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." This is very applicable for the time we're living in, of course. It applies for all of God's people throughout all time, but we're coming up on times of great trial, the time of great tribulation, where we, whether we're old or young, whether we're healthy or sick, we are not going to be strong enough to stand against it. But what are we to do? We're not to build our own strength. We're not to come up with our own ways, but instead we're supposed to wait on the Lord. We're supposed to yield to him and let him build the strength in us. Those are the instructions that we have, and that is the only way that we can truly be successful. So as we continue this seemingly impossible walk in this life, as we're in the end time and we approach the promised land, the odds are seemingly stacked against us. We have a very experienced adversary out to get us, out to consume us and devour us. However, victory is not only possible, it is guaranteed if we do not grow impatient, but wait on the Lord. If we reject our own ways, our own thoughts, and instead cling to the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ and allow him to guide all of our paths.